blessing to be here and share with each and every one of you. Well, maybe not each and every one, but pretty close. I've been making my rounds. I'll try to get to some of the other ones today. It was a blessing. As he spoke, I do have one wife. She's a blessing. And I'll stay with her as long as she'll have me. Some days it was a little short for her, but she's a blessing. I have three kids. My wife says she has four. She says I'm the oldest and the most immature. Thanks. But of course, you know that's not true. Randy, I showed up a little late, but that was the plan. Not that I would get the conference off on a bad foot, so he had me come in a couple of days late there. I appreciate the fact that he invited us. We had a good time last night. We're keeping our focus because we know it's the Lord. But, you know, I enjoy Jesus. I don't know about you guys. I don't know if he enjoys me, but I do. We were back there. JR. Put the 6-year away. You know, when I first met UW, where's Renee? Is she here today? She's smart. She's the only one that's not a lot that was led by the Spirit. But anyway, met Renee, and she introduced me to JW. And my first real meeting with the real-life cowboy, so I was quite impressed. And I said, oh, well, hey, you know, JW, Jeff Sherrill, or Jeffrey Wayne. I said, hey, those are my initials, too. And he said, those aren't initials. And I was a little taken back. I didn't know what to say. But I enjoyed our time last night. Mr. Simmons dropped by the fire. He told me he will be there tonight. But JW was laughing last night, and that was a blessing, and we had a good time fellowship. Doug told us some of the stories, and I'm sure Diana would know some of those. And everyone else was, of course, I've heard these stories over and over, but, you know, Mark and Johnny and the guy who shut his thumb off in the Marine Corps, they're going to have known each other since 1984, so we've gone over all of our old girlfriends and all of our old this, that, and the other this, that, you know, swinging together. But he was mentioning names and places, and these people started laughing like they were supposed to know what he was talking about. But it was a great time of fellowship and enjoying each other. So it was a blessing. As Randy said, we do some traveling, Doug and Randy and myself and a few others. And be a blessing we can include some of the other people that are here in some other conferences that are upcoming to get their view and knowledge of the Lord to others. So it's a blessing to be here. My kids, I was with Sammy and I forget the little young lady.
Mariana.
Looks like she's smart. I'm sleeping in her bedroom.
Yeah.
I need to pray for her after the service. But we really do appreciate. I don't see her mother. There she is. Doug and Deb and I do appreciate you letting us use your home. You can keep the deposit. But I've been praying what I should get Mallory for Christmas, and I think I'm going to get her some most expensive tips for her high heels. Come on, Mallory. Alright, what's up? It's been a blessing. I guess, by the way, that Debbie is laughing, I said something wrong. But I know it's not the first time. Amen. Well, let's worship the Lord. Jesus, we worship you this morning. We're humble today because you came and first loved us. And we bless you because it's the Spirit of Christ in us. It's raised us from the dead. And we're in you, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you've given us. And all the things that so many times we take for granted. Horizontal things that we complain so much about. Thank you for our children. We thank you for their health. Thank you for their strength. We thank you for fellowship in Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity of being here. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus, that you begin to open our eyes to see who you are. Lord, we're truly grateful. Amen. I'd like to share a verse of scripture.
It's just nice in here. Go to Mark chapter 4. It's funny, Randy was starting Genesis last night about the seed. And so I had to share a few moments on the seed. It's interesting, from where we come, each one of us comes from a different denominational background, or some of us just come from the streets or wherever we're coming from, but we come from our own context, our own religious and political and social formations. And of course, I think as our brother Rob said, it's interesting to see when the children come, they don't, if they come into the Lord, they don't have to go back through this digression of who we're not supposed to be and how we're not supposed to do this and that and the other, and so there's a benefit that way, but it's so interesting. I mean, the flesh is stinky, and it's tricky. Say that with me. The flesh is stinky and tricky. Now, for those of you that didn't say that, you probably don't believe that, but it is. Trust me. And it gets trickier and stinkier as the day goes on. The outer man continues to decompose, and the inner man is renewed day by day. And as Randy was sharing yesterday about the good and the bad off the tree, it's interesting how we do, or how I so many times choose off of the wrong tree. Of course, that tree is corrupt from the root up. But the good so many times is attractive to us because we're taught from a young age that morality is important and ethics are important. Now we have to be politically correct as to what we say and don't say. So there's a moral compass that our flesh carries around with it. And it's a good compass. And a lot of us like to live on that good side and be ethically acceptable and politically correct in the things we do and the thinking and the rest of it. But it's all corruption. You know, there's no such thing as good poop and bad poop. I mean, it's all the same. You know, Paul called it dumb. He may have called it poop in this day and age if he was up here sharing. But it's the same. It stays the same. Like we were sharing in one conference. I mean, whether you're in a 5-star hotel or you're in a gutter, it's poops, boom, it stinks the same, but it doesn't make some difference. Mm. And our religiosity is the same. And say this with me, Jeff.
Yeah.
Thanks, Wayne. He's with me. Jeff.
Jeff.
You are religious.
You are religious.
I know I am. But the Lord is working. The Lord is working on us. I said us. And as Albert said, that we're a work in progress. And one of the things I think is interesting, until we see the Lord, we can't recognize, as someone said, who we really are and the disgustingness of what we try to promote and share, and that we classify it as Christianity. And Christianity will embrace it, but Christ can't. It's impossible. Christianity is from A to Z. Doug and I don't know if I should include Doug, even Mitch, I don't know where Mitch is. We went to Rhema, and some others went to other Bible schools and institutes, and some others have been blessed not to go into any of them at all. But we come from our different doctrinal basis, and then from there on we begin this flight of failure that seems to have no end until we come, by God's grace, to the end of ourselves. And as you well know, I'm not to the end of myself, but we're working there. I mean, God is, by His grace, is working on that. So it doesn't do any good to deny the lack of what we lack. We need an increase of Christ and a decrease of ourselves. So it's always important, I think, to be honest as the Lord brings light about ourselves, and not to try to sweep things under the carpet and to put on religious facades and he's this and he's that and she's this and she's the other and comparisons. And by the way, Michael, your wife is the only one in my lab that got greater than a D minus. That's a group feeling, probably. You're a blessing. And so many times we try to function, even the message of Christ, as I stand before you here this morning. When I say this, all humility, and I'll start with myself, or maybe just talk about myself. That even the message of Christ doesn't mean anything unless He really is being revealed in us. I can talk about it all day, I can whistle it all day, I can sing the songs, and
I can agree with what you're saying. We can come in and out. Religiosity has no bounds. It has no bounds. So if we think we're in this group and we're not religious, well, welcome home. We've missed the program. So religiosity will form and shape and fabricate and devise and substitute and will accommodate any of our motives. We have the wrong motive. Well, now he's got the right motive. Right and wrong is still your motive. So it doesn't really matter if you have the right motive or the wrong motive. God's not interested in your motive. I was in a church the other day, and the pastor, Roxanna, she always tells me, Doug knows this, when there's something wrong, I'm quiet. What's wrong, Jeff? Nothing. So if I'm quiet, then you know there's something wrong, usually, or I have to cut throat. And I was in a church the other day, and the guy said, you know, God wants to use your potential. And everyone, oh, yes, amen, you know. And then the lady next to him got up and shared, you know, and said, well, you know, I've been working on, you know, something about humility and the rest of it. And, you know, God brings us down and how I'm supposed to give up this, I'm supposed to give up that. And Roxanne asked me what I thought of the service. I said, well, not much. I tried to think a little bit as possible. I said, didn't you think that was good? And I said, oh, it was great. I said, just like the Lord. So there's a lot of great things in life.
Right.
Wonderful. But they're not the Lord. I told her, I said, Roxanna, God doesn't want to use anything you have.
That's right.
He doesn't even want to use you.
Praise
the Lord. See, that's why we went to the cross in Galatians 2:20. It says, Paul, I mean, we read it all the time. And because I was raised as a Nazarene, or because I was raised as a Charismatic, let's just go back further, because I'm a human being. How many human beings are there? I know that not everyone went to Rhema. And that may be a cuss word in some circumstances. And I know that everyone was a Nazarene. Albert, do you have Nazarenes in Holland?
I don't think so.
Okay. They're a good group of people there. And anyway, so they're a holiness group. They were raised in the holiness movement. But I came to find out, I was talking with some good Nazarene brothers in Arizona last September. I said, they lack two things, holiness and movement. But you know, everything else does, too. You know, Randy was speaking about the waves. I don't know, Albert, and my brother Michael, I don't know if you're familiar with the wave thing. Here, is that gotten up to here or two? Yeah. Well, I mean, there's so many waves. Like he said, you know, the thing is they go from one deal to the other. And as we well know, that it doesn't function. They produce alivio, relief. The wave will produce relief. They'll produce, you know, it lets us get rid of our indigestion. Some of these other things that we think are wrong with us, and they bring circumstantial and superficial peace. All the other things that we find attractive to our flesh. You know, the flesh has a lot of needs. And if you run your whole life trying to satisfy the good in your flesh, you'll run forever. And you go from one thing to the other. So my religious flesh was Nazarene, and I figured, well, that wasn't good enough, and we'd go to the other side. So we went to Rhema and the rest of it. Come to find out, that was the same thing that I was just in. It just felt it different. But I accepted it. And I'm not here to criticize Nazarenes or people from Rhema, please. I'll criticize myself. But that's just the way religion is set up. Whatever discontent God may be doing in our hearts to see Him immediately distracts what God has done in us to put our attention upon Him, she, them, they, the Catholics, the Romans, the whatever. And then as long as I'm not like him, her, them, they, I think that I'm better. And you are. You're just better flesh. But it doesn't mean that we've come out of anything. We think we've left something, we're into something new, and we are. It's just new flesh. But it's not of a different realm. See, that's why he came to give us in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says that we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And I used to think, well, hey, you know, now I'm new. I was old, now I'm new. The whole idea is that I'm I'm not old or new. I should be out of the situation. That new creature is Christ himself. There's no need in the seed. His eternal seed has no need of my flesh. And as long as we do not come really face to face, and only I can say in my finite mind what left, what there's left of it, to say that unless we, by God's grace, keep our eyes upon the Bible Jesus, not the necessarily the ones that they walked with, but the Jesus that Paul saw on the Damascus Road. His eyes were revealed to the eternal Christ and allow him to form his nature and his character in us. Truly, then we, as we have done before, will walk the same road again. And the sad part about it is we've not gotten any further. That's true. But the sad part about it is he's never been able to realize his heart in and through us. That's the sad part. Brother Rob and Orizette, this morning he spoke about how Abraham longed to see the things we see. We're not even longing. I mean, we should be the ones that are saying, I see. We don't have a clue as to what we're supposed to be looking at. Of course, when I say we, generally speaking, we're talking about myself, specifically speaking. But unless we really do allow the Spirit of God on a daily basis, I've heard that, I've seen that, I've been there, I've done that, that's out. Amen. Unless we are like little children, we will never. It's not coming to a revelation. Oh yeah, that was revealed to me on September 9, 2000. That's not the issue. But when I bought my new car, it's an issue of a constant humility before the Lord and allowing his presence to reveal himself in us on a daily basis, that he will be able to form his character in us. He doesn't want my good. He doesn't want my good. We were taught to reject evil as a Nazarene. And we did. But we were taught at the same time to embrace my good. And I did. And I was a good Nazarene. I was a great Nazarene. I remember people stand up and say, I'm thankful I'm born again, more than that I'm a Nazarene. But we do it all the time. You know, I'm thankful I'm born again, or I'm thankful more than that I'm of the inner life, whatever we want to call whatever this is. I think this is. But we don't start to call it something because we shot it in the head already. So, the flesh is tricky. The flesh is stinky. And just because you can't smell it doesn't mean it don't stink. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Abraham was with Ishmael. God told him that wasn't the way. He knew that wasn't the way. God was going to do something supernatural through his loins, through the woman that God had chose for Abraham. He told him, your stars, your nation, your seed will be the star of the sky, sand of the sea. And after their fleshly attempts at bringing that about, they couldn't do it. And he said, well, Hagar, here's an Ishmael. And God didn't say anything to Abraham for 13 years and let Abraham enjoy Ishmael for 13 years. He hugged him. He kissed him. He loved him. He embraced him. It was a pride of his life, whatever his name is, how we say that, whatever. Pride and joy, there you go. It was his pride and joy. And he thought everything was good because God didn't say nothing. But you know, it's not. God doesn't have to tell me nothing.
That's right.
God don't have to tell me when I'm wrong. But when I turn my eyes off of him, that was the fatality of my decision. But that was my choice. God is not responsible for pointing out to me this, that, and the other. He's God. And in the charismatic movement, we always know God by the fact that he is good. And he is lovely, and he's wonderful, and he's a giver. But as I think we've come to see, that before you can put an adjective upon his name, you must believe that he is. And that's it. Abraham lived 13 years with the flesh and loved it. And he thought he was all right. And he longed to see the things we're seeing. Many people call him the father of faith. Like the Word of God does too, doesn't it? I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame. But he was still full of himself, just like we are. Until God had to come and say, hey, we've been out the last 13 years by his mercy and his grace. He came to Abraham. My good stinketh. My good stinketh. So he is asking me to embrace the cross that Jeff and his goodness, his righteousness, and his morality, and his ethics, and his Christianity, and his background, his tradition, his this, that, and the other, would fall on the wayside and be buried, and that new man that's raised is and only is the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 1:11 says, when Jesus came up out of the garden, out of the river, he said, in my Son I'm well pleased. Not anything else. I have nothing I can add to God's pleasure. I have nothing I can add to God's pleasure. Well, Miss Michael Jackson would get born again after I got him turf. You know, God uses jackasses. Then he don't need yours and my talents.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that right, Molly?
Amen.
He doesn't need us. He doesn't. If so-and-so would get saved, or if so-and-so would preach this, or if you would come talk to my loved one about Christ, or if this, you know, God, last I knew, God wasn't even looking to use us. He only wants to flow through us to bring about his Son.
Yes.
In the earth, where number one, he is pleased, and number two, the world may see. Not who I am, not who I was or who I thought I would have been. In my Nazarene, my Pentecostal, my charismatic, my deeper life, whatever you want to call it, that word tickles your tongue. But that the world may see Christ. So when I am lifted up, I will draw. Amen to me. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So, we say it's a play on words? No, it's a play on who's living in who. I was so thankful when Jesus came into my heart and we had a cohabitation. I had a roommate. I had a co-pilot. Am I the only one that talk like that? Bumper stickers on our cars. God is my co-pilot. I tried to put that on my car. God said, give me the keys, get in the trunk, I'll fly the way I want it. We always, man's flesh will always be in desperate need. Can't do anything about it. That's the way God made it. And we recognize our need, but we don't recognize our need for the seed. We recognize our need for everything else. And because I recognize my need for everything else, I am everything else. And we break the Ten Commandments all the time. He said, brother, we're under grace. Well, Matthew says, if you hang these two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and your neighbor yourself, then you've, upon these two, hang all the commandments. We are a graven image unto ourselves. Thanks, Randy. Or should I say myself? Excuse me. My wife always says you need to talk first person singular. That always helps us. Myself. She thinks I'm too critical and judgmental. Well. But. Still got smoke in my eyes from last night. But I was in a church in Dallas last September. And I just mentioned the verse of John 3:30 that Christ must increase, we must decrease, and that's the order that it should take place. The pastor came up to me afterwards and he had tears in his eyes and said, "I've been in the ministry a long time," he said. "I thought we were supposed to increase." And I said, "Well, I learned that at Bible school too." But you know what that says. I mean, the devil don't care if you're looking at pornography or reading the Bible. Certain parts are quiet, but that's all right. I'll say something later this morning you'll like. We malign, degrade, her, him, then they, because they don't line up with my deal, but we're doing as much or more under the guise of the one we say we love. You can't love someone you don't know. In my flesh, I can't love Jesus. In my flesh, I can't love him. The Bible says in Romans 8, there is no good thing. There is no flesh that can please the Lord. Aaron's sons tried it, God whacked him. Uriah tried it, God whacked him. Samson tried it, God poked his eyes out. I find a little humor in that, but that's all right. Feel free to laugh as you show discretion. Some days we'll wake up, we're Samson. Some days we'll wake up, we're Abraham. Sometimes we'll wake up, we're Hagar. The flesh got any name you want. Some days we'll wake up, and this, that, and the other. The flesh has so many disguises. For all you know, I'm putting you on this morning. Amen. We're just with a pastor down in Costa Rica. He married us, to me, a very centered person. Found out that his church split because they were into gold dust and feathers dropping out of the ceiling and all those kind of things. He said, "Well, how foolish." Well, look at me. Or should I say, look at you? Well, I would never believe in gold dust. But we believe in other things.
That's right.
The ridiculous has no limits. Just because you don't feel ridiculous don't mean you win. I'm going to get out of the lap tonight, this morning. When I think I'm delivered, I'm still a slave. It's a penitent heart. I said a contrite heart. That means a man who's always in his attitude of walking upon his knees, knowing that where he's come from may be where he's going.
That's right.
And when he said yesterday may be the result of something he reaps today, where will we ever get out of that mode? Well, a lot of us walk out of it all the time. Randy says that we need to stay connected to the vine. That simply means to me, I need to humble myself, be grateful for what God has done in this bucket of clay to this point, and keep looking unto Him, the author and finisher. Amen. You're either a bucket of dung or you're a bucket of dirt. There's really a fine line between the two. God is only interested in His Son. What He starts, He will finish. Maybe all the time thinks God is going to finish what we started.
Right.
And he will, but it's actually past tense. He finished. Jesus said, it is finished. And we think just because we do a little bit of religious flipping around of terms and whatever else we're doing, we think that. I was talking to a missionary. She said, we were talking about, she asked me a question about a minister on TV. I'm the wrong guy to ask about those kinds of questions. And I said, well, he has got to be of the Lord because of these different things that have happened. And I said, well, how do you figure that? And she said, well, it's easy. God's using him. Well, my man, that doesn't mean anything to me. Like I said, God uses jackasses all the time. He uses me once in a while. But does that mean that God puts his stamp of approval on me or my views or what I'm saying? Not in the slightest. God uses the devil. So does that mean the devil's all right? I don't know who was up here talking about the other day, but I don't have any problem with God using the devil. He created him as an archangel. He made the wrong choice. There's no competition there. God's not threatened.
Right.
He used who, how, when, whatever he wants, however, whenever, whatever he wants to do. But that doesn't mean I'm going to sit there and say, well, yeah, and he's the holy man of God. He got you to that. So anyway, the flesh, at best, is horrible. At worst, I'm not able to articulate it in public. But for some odd reason, I have a tendency to embrace it. And the flesh, whining, as you know, will allow me to shake hands with the cross, rub up against it like a bear scratching his behind, talk about it, think about it, meditate it, memorize the scriptures on it, form organization around it, talk about all this nonsense we do, and yet I never embrace the cross. The devil knows, hey, I'll allow you to do all that. See, you want to talk about the cross? You want to view pornography? Same thing to me. Unless the cross is embraced.
Hallelujah.
God's heart will never be realized in the earth. Never. He said, take up your cross, not talk about it. He said, take up your cross, not form a conference around it. I can talk this way because Randy and I, we hit each other all the time.
To the glory.
Amen. He said to take up your cross, not do little things, you know, pick chips off it, put it on our necks. All the different things we do to distinguish ourselves from whoever we think we need to be distinguished from. I've not figured that one out. He said, you must take up your cross. Daily, deny yourself and follow me. And I have, for the life of me, figured out how we jump over the cross, get on Jesus' back, and think we're on down. He's supposed to ride a colt, not us. We just jump right over the cross and get on his back, and I don't understand how, for the life of me, we think that's kosher. But in the world we live, one thing someone was saying about Cuba, you know, I was like, well, I'm going to go to a communist country and you're going to see people really serving God. They do all right, little g. You know that the flesh can't stand an iron curtain. You knew that? I don't know if you know that. Americans think that the iron curtain or the bamboo curtain prohibits certain things. No, it just adjusts its face. Chinese, Indian, American, Cuban, we're all full of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. We're all the same. Flesh knows no limit, no iron curtain. I found they were just as jerky as me when I went over to Cuba. Believing this, that, and the other, and the rest of it. As Randy said, they look at us like a calf in a new gate. They don't even know what we're talking about. The first one over. But the Lord begins to deal. When you say a word, you say a line, the Lord begins to deal. And the longing that Abraham had in his heart begins to come to the surface. And that longing is being fed by the one who can only quench that longing that God put there. Before the world began, began to wake up to see. Not the next wave, but Jesus. As Randy says, who is the sea? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is only interested in what He's doing. Not interested in my little fabrications or twists or slants. Amen.